Good afternoon. Start to say good morning. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Corinth Baptist Church service for this wonderful day, Lord's Day before Christmas. And we're looking forward to just getting back into full swing after a COVID spike here among our church family. And we're delighted to be able to meet today, a few of us, and also delighted to be able to share over the internet with those who will be watching a little bit later. We're going to begin our worship with number 87 in the hymn book. We're going to sing Silent Night, Holy Night. You can stand together, if you will, as we sing Silent Night. Number 87. Thank you. You can be seated. Just want to remind you again on the video as well that we're going to be having our annual business meeting on Wednesday, the 29th. The agenda will be the same as been posted. We'll just do it a little bit later because of our sickness over the past couple of weeks. So we're going to plan on that a week from Wednesday. That's the 29th, the last Wednesday, and the last time that we'll be able to do that before the new year. Take your hymn book once again. Let's turn to number 85. Number 85, there's a song in the air. There's a star in the sky. There's a mother's deep prayer and a baby's low cry. Helps us to remember.
Star rings its fire while the world is full of sing.
back a page to number 82, a couple of pages actually. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Number 82. Thank you, Olivia, for filling in on the piano. She did a great job. Very good. I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 26. Acts 26. Little forewarning. We're going to look at a lot of scripture. I have a really simple message, but one I think will be a blessing to you. I have entitled it, The Light of the World. The Light of the World. There was a dark, stormy night, and the waves were piling up like mountains on Lake Erie. A boat rocked and plunged near the Cleveland Harbor. "Are we on course?" asked the captain, seeing only one beacon from the lighthouse. "Quite sure, sir," replied the officer at the helm. "Where are the lower lights?" "Gone out, sir." "Can we make the harbor?" "We must, or perish," came the reply. Then with a steady hand and a stalwart heart, the officer headed the ship toward land. But in the darkness, he missed the channel, and the vessel was dashed to pieces on the rocks. Many lives were lost in the watery grave. True story, back in the 1800s. There was a man named Philip P. Bliss wrote a lot of songs that we like to sing, and he heard the story and wrote that song, May the Lower Lights Be Burning. Have you heard that? It comes from that story right there, talking about the lower lights on that path into the harbor that was not available that night. The lights had gone out. Let the lower lights be burning. Familiar hymn reminding us of those little nuances of life that guide a person to the cross and so that they can have eternal life. I have another illustration. This was years later. Six Navy pilots left Their aircraft carrier on a scouting mission, this was in World War II, also true, I understand. They courageously did their part to accomplish this dangerous mission into enemy territory. They scouted it out, discovering that the enemy was actually closer than anyone had imagined. Then they decided it was time to end their mission. They headed back to the safe refuge of their carrier, only to find that they couldn't find their ship. They realized, of course, that while they were out, the captain felt it necessary to have a blackout, a total blackout on the ship. That means no lights and no radio communication was going out from the ship so that they wouldn't be discovered by the enemy that was close by. The pilots were sort of frantic. They're in their planes, they're trying to find a place to land, and they pleaded with the ship, "Turn on just a small light so that we can land." But of course, in a blackout, they don't turn on any lights. The radio silence was maintained so that the pilots were forced to land. They had to ditch in the cold Atlantic, and all were lost. They were really close to their ship where they went in. Sad stories, aren't they? What was the problem? In both of these illustrations, the problem was darkness. Darkness. How would you define darkness? Have you ever considered that? There is a dictionary definition, this one on the internet, simply says the absence of light. I guess that does it, right? Darkness is the absence of light. Have you ever been in a cavern or someplace where it was truly pitch dark? There was no light there. I had that experience one time. I probably told you about it before. It was amazing to me. I don't guess before then I'd ever noticed that I was in true darkness. I could always see something if I moved it in front of my eyes. But in those caverns with the lights off, you could not. You could touch your eyeball and never see your finger coming. It was something. And of course, when the guides get you in that point, they talk about, you know, if we left the lights off, you'd never find your way out. And you would be crazy in less than a week because of the solitary confinement in darkness. Well, all of us were happy when the lights came back on back there many years ago when I had that experience. But it is an eerie feeling. One of the guides said to one group, he said, "Okay, now be quiet for a few minutes and feel the darkness." Now, if you've been in total darkness, you can kind of imagine what he's talking about. On the other hand, you have light. You have darkness, you have light. How would you define light? That's a little harder, actually. Luminous energy, someone said, radiant energy. It's part of the electromagnetic spectrum. I think it's from 400 to 700 hertz. You can actually see, that's visible light energy, and your eyes are receptors of it in that little particular scope, electromagnetic spectrum. Let me ask you this. If it's just a wave through the air, if nobody was there to see it, then was there ever anything really to see? You ever hear that where if the big tree falls in the woods and nobody's there to hear it, did it really make any noise? Well, when you consider noise is only noise to receptors, to some receiver. And if you can't see the waves, but you can hear them if you have the right receiver. Interesting thought to me. I like to think thoughts like that. The word light is also used to refer to that which produces light. You ever hear somebody say, "I need a light"? And they're talking about maybe a flashlight or a match or a candle or something. I need a light, referring to the instrument to create that light, a flashlight or headlights on the car or other type things. We're all familiar with the biblical analogy of light and darkness in the Bible. To me, God's analogies, His metaphors, they're perfect. Whatever He says in the Scriptures, they're the perfect example, the perfect illustration. There's spiritual light and there's spiritual darkness. And they're a whole lot like, characteristically, the physical characteristics of light and darkness are a great comparison to the spiritual realm and the light and darkness there. And they're interesting to put together and think about how closely they relate. Spiritual light, of course, would be knowledge of spiritual truth. Spiritual truth is spiritual light. And the resulting godliness and purity that comes from walking in the spiritual light. A person is either in the light or they're in darkness or in the shadows, we would say. Spiritual darkness, on the other hand, is the absence of or ignorance of the spiritual truth. And it's accompanied by ungodliness and immorality. As in the physical realm, spiritual darkness can also be felt. Feel the darkness. Now, I've heard that people try to describe physical or spiritual darkness and feeling that darkness. But you can, in a sense. There's something missing in life, but I can't tell you exactly what it is. I'm looking for something, and I don't know where to look. I don't know what it looks like, but I can tell you this. I haven't found it yet. I have an itch that I can't scratch. I have a void that I can't fill. I have a need, but I can't really explain what it is. I've met people like that. They're searching for something, but they just don't know what it is. There's this darkness in their life, and they need the light. We know what it is. It's Jesus Christ. What's wrong with America these days? Darkness. Everything that darkness represents in the spiritual realm, that's what's wrong with America. I'm reading a high school history of America right now. It's so interesting to me how many Christians were involved and how the biblical principles that we just sort of take for granted. We know what they are, but they're taken for granted by our country. We're forgetting the things, the principles upon which our country was founded. And the only hope for us is getting back in the light. It's not in a politician. Not in a political party, not in the some sort of a rehabilitation program for a country. What we need is to get back into the light, the spiritual light, get out of the spiritual darkness. The Bible says that because of sin, we're all born into this spiritual darkness. Now I want us to look at some verses. You're welcome to turn. You're welcome to just listen. But we're going to this Acts 26 and verse 18 first. Paul is in Caesarea by the sea. He's been arrested and thrown in prison there. He'll be there for 2 years. While he was there, King Agrippa came. And you're familiar with the story. Chapter 26 verse 18, Paul was sent to the Gentiles, and he's telling Agrippa about his calling. Look at verse 18. He said, I'm called to open their eyes and to turn them from what? From darkness to light. That's Paul's calling, to turn people from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inherit among them an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me, the faith that I have. So Paul was sent to disperse this light, dispel the spiritual darkness. He describes how his gospel was hidden from the lost. You can turn over to 2 Corinthians, and I'll try to keep moving forward, and we'll have a couple of series of verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, and then we'll look at verse 6 as well. 2 Corinthians 4:4 and 4:6. Again, he's describing how this gospel, this truth, this light is hidden from the eyes of lost people. And the terminology he uses is the same as our terminology this morning. He says in verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. They need light, but they're blinded to the light. They've got blinders on. They don't see the spiritual truth, right? They don't see the spiritual truth. Verse 6 says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So the gospel's, the truth, the gospel truth, the light, spiritual light, is hidden from unsaved people, Paul said. Now go on over to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, because there we see that Paul tells us that we're soldiers and we're armored up and we're fighting against a particular enemy. Look at how he describes the enemy here in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. He says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness." The rulers of darkness. There shall against spiritual wickedness in high places. Ephesians 6:12. You know, spiritual darkness has been around since the beginning of time. Satan and his cohorts fell, and sin entered into the world, and death because of sin. Spiritual darkness and this blinding has been taking place, and Satan's pretty good at what he does. He is good at blinding the minds and the hearts of individuals. And how long does the spiritual, how long is it going to be around? Will spiritual darkness ever be done away? Not exactly. Not exactly. The Lord tells us that this darkness is going to be around forever. Over in Matthew, back to Matthew chapter 8 and verse 12, the Lord uses the word darkness to refer to eternal hell. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 12. Now, there are other verses as well. Matthew 22, 13, Matthew 5, 25, 30. But let's look at this one. Matthew 8, 12. The Lord used the word darkness here. Look at it. "But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Talking about the Jews who rejected the Christ. They'll be cast into outer darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Outer darkness. Hell. Is hell going away? No, it'll be here forever. So there is a spiritual darkness, a place of darkness that will exist forever. Over in the book of Jude, we have Jude describing those with corrupt minds. They have corrupt minds, and they've crept in, Jude said, they've crept in unawares. Right before Revelation, the book of Jude. I want to look at chapter, or there are only one chapter, but verse 11, Jude 11. He says, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain." Now look at verse 13. "Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever." So we're just trying to get our minds wrapped around this analogy of the Lord. Spiritual light, goodness, truth, righteousness, eternality, eternal life in His presence. And then we have spiritual darkness. It's the opposite of that. And it'll be around forever. I'm going to go over next to, let's look at Jude 13 again. God has already said that there's going to be no light offered after this life. Look at the last part of that verse again. Jude 13, "To whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever." Now think about what that means. Those who are cast into outer darkness, there's never going to be light for them again. We're not talking physical light. There's never going to be opportunity. There's never going to be worship. There's not going to be the singing of hymns. There's not going to be the testimony of Christians. There's not going to be any of those things. They're in outer darkness forever. Forever separated from everything that you could call good. In the book of Hebrews in chapter 9, it says, "It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this," what? The judgment. The judgment. It's sort of like, well, you made your bed, now you're going to have to sleep in it. There's opportunity right now. Opportunity for people to turn to Christ, to put their confidence in Him for forgiveness of sin, to trust Him for everything they need, all of the deliverance. But those days of opportunity will not last forever. And then they'll be consigned to darkness, spiritual darkness forever. There's only one cure for physical darkness. What is it? light. Only one way you can do away with darkness, and that is you got to have some light. There's only one way to do away with spiritual darkness as well. What is it? Spiritual light. It is the light of the world. You know, when Jesus came, he was called the light of the world. It fits God's analogy so well to think of Jesus as light, as the light, as the source of light, as the essence of light, the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah spoke of him. Give you a second. Go back to Isaiah, familiar passage, chapter 9 and verse 2. Isaiah 9, 2. A passage that talks about the Lord Jesus. And Isaiah spoke of Jesus as the essence of light. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. He says there, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." Verse 6, Isaiah 9, 6. "For unto you a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Talking about who? Talking about Jesus. "A child is born, and the government shall be upon his shoulders." Talking about Jesus and all that Jesus is going to do in this period of time that the Bible covers from eternity past to eternity future. Jesus is the light, he says. The prophet Simeon in Luke chapter 2. I said there's a lot of turning. We're going to go to Luke chapter 2 next. Luke 2 and verse 32. Do you remember Simeon? He's an old man. He hangs around the temple in the day of the Lord Jesus' birth. And the Lord said, "I'm not going to let you die until you see the Deliverer, until you see the Christ, the Messiah." And Simeon, of course, believed him. Look at what, this is his prophecy pertaining to this baby that he is holding in his arms at the moment. Luke chapter 2 and verse 32. Jesus, he says, "is a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him." He's a light to lighten the Gentiles. Now, I'm not moving very fast with this. I know I'm talking about light and darkness in the spiritual realm. Darkness, well, it's a problem. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. And Simeon said so here in Luke chapter 2. We're going over to John, the next book over, John chapter 1 and verses 5 to 8. John the Baptist introduced Jesus, right? That was his lot in life. He came into this world, born of a woman who was barren, raised to be the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're told from the Old Testament prophets. John the Baptist introduced the Lord Jesus. Look at how he does that in chapter 1 of John and verse 5. "And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." That means it couldn't overtake it. The darkness could not overtake the light when it entered into the world. Verse 6 says, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John." Talking about John the Baptist. "The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe." You see how John's using the same terminology? It's all in the scriptures. God really wants us to grasp this. There's such a thing as eternal darkness, spiritual darkness. That's everything except God and righteousness and goodness. And then there's spiritual light that is, it's comprehensive. It's everything that God is: truth and light and life and righteousness and goodness. And all of the writers of Scripture talk about it and use these same words. Jesus bore witness of himself, John chapter 8. You can flip over there easily. John chapter 8 and verse 12. "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light." Can you finish? "I'm the light of the world." I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I am the light of the world. Jesus said in John chapter 9, one page over, John chapter 9 and verse 5, as long as I'm in the world, he said, I am the light of the world. Now you have that same John chapter 12, 35, 36, John 12, 44 and 46. He continues to use the same terminology to describe Jesus, the light. As long as he's in the world, he is the light of the world. Is he still here? Is Jesus, the man, the God-man, still here on earth? Not physically, though, right? Spiritually, yes. But he said, as long as I'm in the world. Well, now he's not in the world. We're going to talk about that here in just a minute. Paul bore witness of Christ as the light. Just want you to look at this. Look at this one more verse, and then we'll kind of start over in another point. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. Because Paul, the great apostle, talks about the Lord Jesus as, again, the light of the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6 says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Now, I know we read that before, but you see it again there. Give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. And who did that? Who brought that light to us? It was the Lord Jesus, obviously. Jesus, the light of the world. I want us to kind of shift gears here a little bit. I mentioned that the Lord Jesus is not here. He said, while I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. But he's gone now, bodily. He's not here like he was in that day. Is the light gone? Is there any light left? Can we still see spiritually? Obviously so. Where do we get light now? Where do we get the spiritual light, truth that we need? It's in the book, right? It's in the Bible. And the Bible is like a light. The Bible tells us in Psalm 119 and verse 105, and you don't need to turn there because I know that you know this, the word, thy word, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The word of God is a light. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19, listen, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. So the Bible, in the Bible, those who wrote recognize the Bible now, the Word of God, which they were in the process of writing, it would be light to those who would read it. It would be the spiritual light. We call Jesus the Word of God in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, capital W. Jesus is the living Word of God. And we also have the written Word of God, which is also alive, right? Hebrews 4:12. It's alive. God's Word, then, is a source of this spiritual light. It's been recognized in every generation since the inception of our nation. In the 1700s, the generations that lived in this country, the Puritans and the Pilgrims and all the different religions, Christian religions, they recognized that Jesus Christ was light, that the Word of God was the light in His absence now, and they needed the Word of God. In every generation since the beginning of our nation, has had an understanding that we need the Bible every generation until these generations that now live on this earth. I can remember when you couldn't find somebody that hadn't heard of Jesus Christ. Never. To find somebody who said they didn't believe in Him, well, that was possible, but had never heard of Him, just didn't happen. But you can knock on doors right here in Corinth, Maine, and a lot of people don't know anything about Jesus Christ. The light's been snuffed out. Satan has blinded the minds of generations now. D.L. Moody said, "The Scriptures were not given for our information, but for our transformation." He recognized Moody and all of those living in his day recognized the necessity for the Word of God. If we're going to have a nation, if we're going to have a church, if we're going to have the peace of God that passes understanding, if we're going to have the things that God wants to give us. Do you know Mark Twain? You know the name Mark Twain. Was he a Christian or not, you think? He was not. Mark Twain was not a Christian. Listen to what he said. Most people are bothered by those passages of Scripture that they do not understand. But the passages that bother me the most are the ones that I do understand, he said. Not even a Christian. But here, this unsaved man understood we need the Bible. The Bible is like a mirror for our soul. It tells us who we are and shows us what we need. Mark Twain understood. Okay, so Jesus was the light while he was in the world. And people looked at him and he said, I am the light of the world. And if you come to me, you won't have to walk in darkness anymore. Now Jesus has gone out of the world and the light still exists. Here it is in the Word. Everything that Jesus taught is recorded here so we can read it and we can enjoy the same truth that they enjoyed on the mountains in Galilee when Jesus taught the thousands there. Jesus was the light of the world while he was here. Then the Word of God is the light of the world. Any more light? Any other thoughts? The light of the world. Ye are the light of the world. How's that? Jesus said that. Let's look at it. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16. So in addition to Jesus and the Word that Jesus gave, he taught his followers, Jesus taught his followers that Christians, his disciples, we, brothers and sisters of Corinth Baptist Church, we are the light of the world. We are the light of the world. Look at it. Chapter 5 of Matthew, verses 14 to 16. 5, 14 to 16. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. There's a wonderful passage there telling us about why we're here. Jesus came. He was born and laid in a manger. He grew up 33 and a half years. For the last 3.5 years, he taught his disciples. He just spread abroad the light. And then he was taken out of this world, but he left us the Word. The Word as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And the spiritual light's not snuffed out and won't be. But not only the Word, but Jesus left this dying, dark world. He left them us, you and me, us believers, so that we can be a light in the darkness, as he says here in Matthew chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8, listen to this. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk, he says, as children of light. You were darkness. I remember that. I was in darkness, but now I've found the light and I'm in the light and I need to see myself as a child of light and take the light to others. You may be familiar with Fuller Seminary. This was years ago, they had 750 former Muslims to fill out an extensive questionnaire about what made them decide to be followers of Christ. So they left Islam and they followed Christ in Christianity. They saw the light, we would say. The responders were from 30 countries, 50 ethnic groups representing every major region of Islam around the world. They were asked to rank the relative importance of different influences. What was it? What made you a believer? What made you leave Islam and become a Christian? According to the survey, the greatest influence on them to reject Islam, to turn from Islam and all that it stands for, and come to Christ was the lifestyle of Christians. I read that and I thought, really? Most Muslims look at Christians, American, Western Christians right now, and they say, if that's Christianity, I don't want any of it. What did we lose? We lost the light. We're blinded now, and we're not acting like children of light. These Muslims said things like, there's no gap between their profession and their practice. They treat women as equals. They love people who are different. That's what the Muslims saw in Christians. The most powerful witness to people entrenched in Islamic doctrine. And that way of life was observing a consistent Christian testimony. Watching a Christian. Watching how they lived. Talking to them. Could somebody get saved? Could somebody be drawn to Christianity by watching you? That's the question I ask. There were two cars waiting at a stoplight. The light turned green, but the man that was in the front car, he didn't notice that it was green. But the lady behind him, she saw it was green. She began to pound on her steering wheel and her dashboard, and her mouth was moving, and whatever she did, the man still didn't see that it would turn green, and he just sat there. So this woman's going ballistic in her car. She's ranting and raving. She's making obscene gestures, and she noticed that the light turned yellow. And now she blows her horn. She lays on the horn. The man's kind of startled. He realizes the light's yellow. And so he steps on the accelerator and he moves through the intersection before the light turns red. And there she is. Oh, and she's wild with fury right now because she has missed her opportunity to go. And she's just about to blow up when all of a sudden there's a little tap on her window, and she looks into the barrel of a gun of a police officer who looks very serious. And he tells her to keep her hands in sight. Please open your car door and step out of the car. And he went through the whole routine of arresting her, had her turn around, put her hands on top of the car. He cuffed her. He ushered her into the police car. He took her to the station. They searched her and booked her and threw her in a cell. And she was there for a while. And finally, the policeman came back in and he unlocked the door. And as he was going back to the desk where she had been booked, the police officer who arrested her said, "Ma'am, I'm sorry for this confusion here, this mistake. It's a terrible mistake." And she didn't know what to say. He handed her the bag containing her things, and he said, I'm really sorry for the mistake, but you see, I pulled up behind your car, and you were blowing your horn, and you were making these gestures, and you were cursing a blue streak at the car in front of you, and I sat and watched, and then I noticed the Choose Life sticker on your back of your bumper. On your license plate holder and the What Would Jesus Do and Follow Me to Sunday School. You had all of that on your bumper stickers. And then there was this chrome-plated Christian fish on there. And I just assume that you must have stolen this car. Now, I don't know that was true. Sort of sounds made up, but makes the point, doesn't it? What do people think when they see how we handle the circumstances of life? You and I, brothers and sisters, have the wonderful, distinct privilege to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world, to carry everything in our heart and in our hands that He taught, and to teach it to others, to shed the light abroad, to live what the Bible says, to live in the light so that other people will see why Jesus came here. Jesus came to this earth to make this happen, to make this book, this story of redemption unfold. Now, if you're listening to this and you're unsaved, and some may be, what does the light actually reveal about you? Well, it would reveal that you're a sinner. And don't feel bad. And I'm not talking about anybody, because we're all sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we're all undone, and we're all born into spiritual darkness. So says the Bible. This light would also reveal to you and to me that Jesus is the Savior. He can help us. He's the Deliverer. We're in darkness. We need light. We're separated from God because of our sin, and He can reconcile us. He can bring us back into God's presence. And the Bible would also, the light would also reveal to you that God wants you to be saved, that He loves you dearly. So what will you do with the light that you receive? What will we do with this light? Even us who've been around. We've been around the block a few times. What are we doing with this light? The Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse 18, "He that believeth on Him," that is Jesus, "is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil." There's only one way to have forgiveness. Only one way to live in the presence of God forever. Only one way to know God right now, and to know His Son, Jesus Christ. And that is through the gospel that's found in the Word of God. The light of the world came into this world to reveal these wonderful truths to you and to me. Let me say just a word to us who know Christ as our personal Savior. What are we supposed to do with the light anyway? Well, it needs to be our guide. John the Baptist had a father whose name was Zacharias, who prophesied about the Lord Jesus to give light to them that sit in darkness, in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Like ships are guided by the lighthouse. They see the light and they understand the coast there, and they know they need to be on the right. They need to approach the lighthouse like this, and they'll make the safe harbor. And you and I need to let the light be our guide. It's the lighthouse. It's the headlight. It's what we need to find our way. We need to walk in the light. 1 John chapter 1 and verses 5 to 7. 1 John, let you turn there. 1 John 1, because we're going to look at several verses here. 1 John 1, 5 to 7. We need to let the Word of God, let the light be our guide. We need to, secondly, walk in it. 1 John 1, 5, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." He tells us we should walk in the light. And those who know God are those that walk in the light. Chapter 2, 1 John 2 and verse 9, it gives us an example of this walking in the light. Verse 9 says, "He that saith that he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling with him." You see, we need to walk in the light, and it'll be obvious to the people who are walking or watching. They'll see that we live in the light, in the truth of God's Word, the truth revealed in the Word of God. So we need to let it be our guide. We need to walk in it. We need to praise the Lord because of it. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 again, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of Him that has called you out of darkness and into light." What should we do with this light? We should rejoice in it. We should rejoice in the light. What a wonderful privilege to have the light. as we would praise an individual. I'm broken down on the side of the highway. I know exactly what I need to do, but I can't see it. It's dark out here. And then somebody comes with a light, says, "You need some help?" They shine their light. Ah, boy, I'm so happy to see you. I needed some light here, and you've provided it. How would we rejoice? Well, we're the light of the world, and there are people groping in darkness, and we have exactly what they need. Lastly, we need to remember that God has commissioned us, you and me, to be a reflection of His light. I didn't realize there are some caverns, maybe you know about them. They're north of Yellowstone National Park somewhere. I was reading about the original discovery of those caverns. There was the explorer, whoever found them, was walking and he fell down through a hole and somehow went down a great many of feet, couldn't get out. And there he was in that darkness, as I described earlier, of a cavern. And he would cry day. He was in there for days. He would cry, "Help me, help me." And just hoping somebody might venture by. And eventually somebody did, and they heard him, and they were able to get him out. And someone asked him, "How did you hold on to hope day after day in that darkness without giving up?" You know what he said? He said, "I would look up, and there was a little pinhole of light, and it would shine down. The beam of light would shine down to the cavern, in the cavern where I was." And he said, I watched that beam of light. I watched that beam of light, and it was a little ray of light and a little ray of hope. Somebody could find me. The light was shining. Brothers and sisters, you and I are that little ray of hope, that little ray of light in this world in which we live. We have to remember that the Lord has given us fair warning. He says in 2 Corinthians 11:14, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." There's a lot of fake light out there. There's a lot of lies. It's being passed off as truth and spiritual light, but it's not light at all. It's not light at all. It's total darkness. And we need to be aware of that as we carry our torch, as we take the light of God to the world that's groping in darkness. I hope this will be a blessing to you as you think of it. This is what Christmas is about. The light came down to earth, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, I do give you thanks once again for the opportunity to open the Word together. Lord, we're few in number this morning, but our hearts are challenged. We pray that you'll work in us. Bring about, Lord, those decisions that perhaps need to be made. I pray for those who would hear this on the internet or by CD, however it might be shed around. I pray, Lord, that it would be a blessing wherever it's heard. And we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen.